the UK government has ruled out using frozen Libyan assets to compensate IRA victims injured by weapons and Semtex supplied by the Gaddafi regime. And they're going to keep a scoping report into compensation for victims under wraps. We'll speak to SDLP MP Claire Hannah about this in a few moments. But first, let's hear from one of the hugely disappointed victims. Jonathan Ganesh is an Irish citizen. He was injured and one of his colleagues died in the IRA's Canary Wharf bombing in the Docklands area of London in 1996. Jonathan's president of the Docklands Victims Association. And last night he gave us his reaction to that UK government decision not to use Libyan assets to compensate them.
Well, I'm sorry to be so frank. I'm absolutely thoroughly disgusted. My two friends, Inam and John Jeffries, as well as my other friends who I knew in the area, were severely injured, including Zoe Berzak. And I'm sorry to say this to you, it's a disgrace to the Docklands victims, but it's also an absolute disgrace to all the victims of terrorism here in the mainland GB, as well as Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland who have been injured. I would like to see the UK government follow the French, German, and the American government's position, where they were very robust and actually managed to resolve compensation for their victims, including those of the troubles, people who suffered during the troubles, who had American passports, and do the right thing and support their citizens and value the lives of their citizens. The UK government must value the lives of their citizens.
Jonathan Ganesh speaking to us last night, who is president of the Docklands Victims Association and was injured in the Canary Wharf bombing in 1996. Joining us now is Claire Hannah, the SDLP MP for South Belfast and a member of the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee. You can hear the pain there in Jonathan Ganesh's reaction, Claire Hannah, and that's the reaction of a lot of victims, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's crushing for victims who have, again, had their hopes built up and then dashed, and who, again, have had their interests overtaken by, I suppose, in this case, national interest or security interests and the victim makers. And I think that is the story of the last, even the last two decades since the end of the period of violence, that victims' needs always come second best. And I think this report in particular had created a real expectation. You know, it was framed by the UK government around how they were going to deliver this compensation, not if. So it's extremely cynical to now, at the last, pretend that it was a report that was never designed to be published.
There's a long history to all of this, but tell us what happened at the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee yesterday when William Shawcross appeared and the significance of it.
Well, we've been kind of pursuing, I suppose, this issue certainly for the year and a bit that I've been elected and on the committee, chasing up the Foreign Office and tabling parliamentary questions and so on to try and understand where the report was, because we knew it had been finished. And at no time were we told that the report wasn't coming. It is worth saying that we didn't know right up until yesterday morning whether or not Mr. Shawcross was going to come to the committee. He hadn't confirmed. And then, I suppose, when he did, he advised us that essentially he was gagged by his relationship with the Foreign Office and really wasn't able to answer any of our questions. And obviously we had a lot of questions around, I suppose, the detail of how many victims was he able to establish that might have been injured or killed by Libyan Semtex and so on. But essentially, we got no information out of him. I believe, and I know, following on material that Jonathan Ganesh had published over the years, that it was such a murky episode, and there were very many murky episodes in Northern Ireland's murky past, but essentially that there would have been names of the senior IRA personnel, and there would have been information about what the security services knew at the time, and that's too embarrassing to those people involved. Mm-hmm. So once again, their needs trump the needs of victims.
And this 12 billion euro of frozen Libyan assets, and, you know, a lot of these specific attacks were carried out with weapons and Semtex that had come from Libya. The irony is that the British government is collecting tax on it. Is that right, on these frozen assets? But it can't be used to compensate victims.
Well, it is, and there's no reason that it can't. Yes, essentially, I think the actual billions of assets locked are slightly more complicated, but they're accruing interest at a rate of about 5 million per year. And so there's 21 million, I believe he said, that has already been received by Treasury. And no, I understand that he has indicated that that money should be hypothecated and allocated to victims, but the UK government have not agreed to do that. That's something certainly that we will be pursuing. I mean, in terms of the number of victims, it doesn't, it wouldn't go very far. And I suppose it's worth saying that, you know, there should be a comprehensive set of arrangements on legacy, so that it isn't just, you know, so that victims are able to access the same levels of compensation. And as you'll know, there is a long and fairly unedifying squabble going on over the victims' payment that was sort of agreed essentially last year to all those who were catastrophically injured and unable to work. But yet those people haven't seen a penny yet due to political wrangling. Again, victims' interests seem to come second. But there needs to be a comprehensive arrangement for victims, so that I suppose it doesn't matter who provided the material that injured you or that killed your relative, that you are entitled to the same level of support. And there needs to be a comprehensive set of arrangements around. And I think the really important point is this shows us how the government and other victim makers are going to handle disclosure and transparency and information recovery. They're going to continue to suppress the information that people need, and they're going to continue to put their needs first. And that's very concerning if we ever want to be serious about understanding what really went on here.
Claire Hannah, SDLP MP for South Belfast and a member of the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee. Thank you for speaking to us on Morning Ireland, 14 minutes to 8.